Okay. Hello, friends.
Hi.
It's Caitlin and Shanika with Get Checkered. Get Checkered is part of the Alberta podcast, locally grown and community supported. How are you, gal?
Good. I actually slept in today, which is nice.
Oh,
I feel refreshed a little bit. It was a bit of a hectic week, though. We had lots of networking events.
Oh.
Anyways, yeah. So glad that's over. And Vancouver just rained a lot, and it's going to be raining more.
You're not the only one that's dealing with it. So for the next like 9 days, it's raining in Calgary. And for our listeners who aren't from, don't know anything about Calgary, we're actually like one of the sunniest places in the world.
Yeah. It doesn't rain often. It's raining for 9 days.
It's 9 days straight starting today.
It's
not great because when the rain happens also, we typically have flooding, which if you also don't know anything about our province, city, we had some really bad flooding a couple of years ago. So yeah, kind of sucks. And I have a few days off next week, and I'm like, I was so excited to like go on my hot girl walks, and I'm like, now it's raining. Not really loving that for me.
Oh, that's like very unexpected and weird, but mm-hmm. How was your week though, aside from what's going to happen in the future?
It's so exhausting. Work is so crazy, but I think it's finally slowing down a little bit, which is good. And then other than that, like super uneventful. I've just been working really long days and then coming home and going to bed. Yesterday was my friend Nikki's birthday though, and we went out and celebrated with her, which is so fun. If you're curious whether you can twerk to 1,000 miles by Vanessa Carlton, you can. Our friend Clara, she did it, and I was like, oh my god, this is a skill set I don't have. But I was home before one, which was really, really nice, and that's I think why I don't feel super dead today. Just a little tired, but like not hungover. Took 2 Advils before I went to bed too. Made sure to drink a lot of water.
Yep, very good. Yeah.
How about you?
I think I also just want to put on this podcast. Officially, it came out today. Our good friend Joanna and Devin, they're expecting.
Oh my god, I had no idea. Are they?
So the baby's actually expected to be a January 1st baby.
Oh my gosh. So, I just saw that. That's so exciting.
So I want to say big congrats to them. That's very exciting. Another Capricorn baby in the Capricorn household. I love it.
Oh, that's so exciting. Last time I talked to her, she was like, I'm kind of, yeah. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So that was good news for today. We actually Shanika and I both, I guess, watched this race, not live because it was insane. The time it was on for Western North America. And so we actually just finished watching it. It was nowhere near as eventful as last year's race.
No.
So it'll be a quicker that part of the episode, but we do have a load of information for you guys at the beginning of this episode. And so we're just going to quickly go into I noted two big things, maybe one big thing, one medium drama, rumor mill stuff. But the big thing I wanted to say is this is Happy Pride Month, y'all. This is the first race happening in June. So hence why we're bringing it up in this episode. Want to shout it out. And just remember, it's really not just a month. We're not celebrating them only for a month. It's meant to just bring additional awareness during this month in particular. So props. I saw Mercedes change their emblem color. And Lewis, actually, so props to Lewis. He's like, we should really keep this the whole year.
I agree.
So the big story, and my roommate actually sent me a link to this when it came out. Our man Seb. Okay. We love Sebastian so much. He was interviewed and was on the cover of Attitude magazine. This is an LGBTQ+ magazine in the UK and Europe. And he openly spoke of his role as an ally and how he's trying to tackle the prejudice in F1 and around the world. So we know he took a stand in Hungary for sure last year, right? We saw him and he was reprimanded. He was taken away a podium place because of it. and he's declared that, quote unquote, any member of the LGBTQ+ community is welcome in F1. And so that's nice to hear. He's a four-time world champion. He has huge clout in the F1 community. So to have him say something like that, it's great to see. When I do a bit more digging into this stuff, and actually on the Attitude Magazine Instagram page, if you guys take a look, I learned a lot. Okay. So I guess this cover came out just, it was the same week, but after the FIA president, Mohammed Ben Salouhoum, said he did not want the drivers imposing their beliefs upon the sport.
I hate that.
And actually, it was after the Monaco GP, he went on to say, quote unquote, Niki Lauda and Alain Prost only cared about driving. Now Vettel drives a rainbow bicycle. Lewis is passionate about human rights, and Norris addresses mental health. Everyone has the right to think. To me, it is about deciding whether we should impose our beliefs in something over the sport all the time. So,
I saw this all over Twitter, and I was like, is he saying that people shouldn't care about, like, what? I don't understand.
I think it creates a lot of frenzy, I think, like, with some of the governing, like, races, and everyone doesn't like that. Some people, like, we have these kind of more progressive opinions on stuff, and he's playing into that side because he's trying to keep them happy. And it's like, no, so you're at the position where you can help make the most change. And so it's really shitty to see you want to, like, hold down all these great voices coming up and talking about stuff that's prevalent all over the world and should have more talk, really.
Yeah. And I think what you are kind of hitting the nail on the head of is that is human rights and, you know, riding a rainbow bicycle, apparently, so advocating for LGBT rights and talking about human, mental health, like, truly progressive. This is like regular life, people.
It should be. But I think, like, a lot of the races, and we've talked about it in so many of our episodes, like, they are in countries that don't have these perspectives. And yeah, so I don't know, that was very disappointing to see. I think, honestly, Seb, keep doing what you're doing. I love it. Lewis, keep doing what you're doing. Norris. That is Norris. For some reason, that was not coming across right in my head. But keep doing what you're doing. Like, we need you guys to do what you're doing. So,
exactly. Ignore the president. It's
just, was gross. Ridiculous. And I'm like, really? Really? During Pride Month, you say this? Insensitive. So, anyways, that was that drama. We'll see how that goes on. But I hope, like, honestly, if Seb or Lewis comes out and says something back to that, that'd be great. But I don't know if they will.
We'll have to see. I think they're just going to continue doing what they're doing, which is, like,
appreciated. Yeah.
They're going to keep doing what they're doing in their sport, and they know that what buttons to push and how far they can go. And I don't think they care about getting penalized either. So.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that was that. But honestly, guys, go check out the article in the magazine if you can. It should be online. So it's great to hear Seb talk about that. And then also want to bring around some of the drama we've seen around Nicholas Latifi this week.
I had no idea that this was happening.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it's just like, you know how, Clover wants to, if she speaks, she's right in the microphone, so it'll be great. But yeah, I don't know if it's like I clicked on one article and it just started feeding it to me all the time, which might have been the case. But
yeah,
from what I take, Williams is very not happy with Latifi, and he hasn't performed once,
ever. Right?
He's creating problems, and I'm not surprised Williams is not happy with him. I'm surprised it's taken them this long to say that.
Yeah.
And Ashley, what they're saying is that Oscar Piastri could be in the ranks to possibly replace him mid-season. So, I clicked on this link thinking it was honestly a Daniel Ricciardo problem, because the title was something about, like, F1 driver risks, like, not even finishing the season. I was like, oh, I think I know who this is about. And it would kind of, like, throw him for a loop that it was about Latifi, but I'm like, makes sense.
Yeah, he hasn't, folks, he is the only driver that hasn't been in the points at some point of a race this season.
And we know it's not the car. Like, Albon's done fantastic in that car.
Yeah.
And it's not because Latifi's a new driver. He's been here for a while.
Yeah. I don't.
So yeah,
we shall see what happens with that, huh?
I mean, I would be all for having Oscar come in, because I think he's mm-hmm. a young gun that deserves a chance to try his hand at F1. Like, he's proven he's good enough to be in here. Latifi, in my opinion, hasn't proven to be good enough for one of those 20 spots. So
I also agree with that 100%. He seems sweet enough, but it might be time for a curtain call. Last time in Formula One for now. And, you know, you can always, like, get a seat back. Like, that's not out of the question. Exactly. So
just fresh up. You'd have to start performing more.
Exactly. We're going to talk about the track fact, or Caitlin actually is going to talk about the track facts and all the stuff that you need to know about Baku right after this ad break. So with ATB Cares, giving is easy. Donate through ATB Cares and ATB will match 20% of every dollar donated to eligible Albertan charities, maximizing the impact of your donation. Visit atbcares.com to choose your cause and donate today.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. So track facts. I was looking up if we did this for last year's episode. Don't think we did. I was looking through our notes actually for last year and I'm like, we did not write coherently at all. There was zero structure to how we did it, so it'd be interesting to go back and listen to that at this point. We're going to start high level. Where is Azerbaijan? Because TBH, not a country I really know about.
Yeah,
right, that's a good point. So it's another, they called it a transcontinental country, so like Turkey. Azerbaijan is the boundary of Eastern Europe and Western Asia. Okay. It borders the Caspian Sea to the east, and it's in that area with like Georgia. Iran's actually the southern border of it.
I don't even know that.
And of course, being the podcast we are, I saw this note and I'm like, should be talked about. So the ruling party there is called the New Azerbaijan Party. They've been in power since 1993, as per what Wikipedia says. This is Wikipedia, folks. And they are accused of an authoritarian leadership style. So they have increased restrictions on civil liberties, such as press freedom and political repression.
Okay, I'm sorry. Caitlin and I were born in 1993. So folks, to do the math for you, that's 28 years that this party has been in power. What?
So, like, yeah, I had no idea, but I was thinking, I'm like, why is F1 choosing some of these places? Like, Baku's gorgeous. Like, you see the pictures, you see them race, it's beautiful. I would love to see it. But then you do think about, like, what you're really supporting when you go there, what you're giving money towards, and it's like, oh, that doesn't feel the same.
No, definitely doesn't.
So they actually, I'll get to the GP facts later, but so that's the country as a whole. Baku is the capital and the largest city in Azerbaijan. It is along the coast of the Caspian Sea. It's the only metropolitan city in the country. Has 2 million-ish people in the metro area. This is known as the City of Winds. So I know, like, we have a best friend in Chicago, Windy City, but this one's actually City of Winds because of harsh winds. it's it is below sea level, technically 28 meters below sea level, and is the lowest lying national capital in the world and the largest capital in the world that's below sea level.
Damn. Okay.
Right. Interesting. So, I mean, like, thermodynamics questions would be very different there than they are in Calgary. I'm just
saying. Than anywhere else. Yeah.
No. Apparently, there's a great nightlife there. Like, in Lonely Planet, they've ranked it like the 8th best nightlife party city or something. Exactly. I know.
These are things we didn't know.
Interesting. And then, so they actually have a UNESCO World Heritage Site declared for the inner city of Baku, along with the Shirvanshah's Palace and the Maiden Tower. And we do see these because the race goes literally right through them, which is... brings me to the next one. Baku City Circuit is where we race. Street circuit, anti-clockwise, is 6 kilometers long for 51 laps. So it is the third longest track. That's behind Spa and Jeddah. And it's also very fast. Like, the straight is flat out for drivers for over 2 kilometers. Botas clocked, I think, the fastest lap in a Q3 session back in 2019. Mm-hmm. At like 337 kilometers an hour. I'm like, Like, okay, so, oh, what did I do this week? I saw Top Gun Maverick, which is,
I know, it was a good movie.
Very, very good. And they're going like Mach 10. I'm like, oh my God. But like, I still see 337 kph in a car and I'm like, oh my God. Well, that's the circuit. We all know it's beautiful and we saw it. It had great weather today. So the Azerbaijan GP, the event, was first held in 2017. But the first GP at the circuit was actually called the European GP, and that was in 2016. Rosberg won that one. But since it's been Azerbaijan, who was the first winner? Homeboy Danny Rick. So Danny won the inaugural Azerbaijan GP 2017, and there has not been any repeat winners. Interesting fact. So we had Danny, then we had Lewis, Valtteri won, then they had a break for COVID, and Sergio won last year. And now we have a different winner for 2022. So, yeah, Baku is always memorable.
Always. It was kind of unpredictable. Kind of unpredictable.
There was a few things that happened, yeah. I just want to get into tires quickly because, talking about the unpredictability, we remember 2021, last year's race here, tire blowouts at high speeds, terrifying. So it was one for Stroll and one for Verstappen, who was literally in the lead and lost all his points because of a Pirelli tire issue that resulted in a blow-up. But yeah, we're back this year. Same range of tires for the slicks. They choose the softest three. So the C3, C4, C5. But we do know we have different tires this year. So the 18-inchers versus the 13-inchers and completely different car status. So like different pressure points, I'm assuming, different places in the car. Because they said that the reason for the blowouts last year was the tire pressure exceeded.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. So I was reading an article and I guess Max was not concerned about the same issue going in this year because he's like, yeah, it is different tires. And Lance was like, oh, I hope it doesn't happen.
Oh, God.
But, it was a hot race today. I heard right at the beginning of the stream, they're like, it's near 50 degrees C at the track level. So it's not just asphalt abrasion, but also the track temps that would... they are anticipating a lot of tire degradation, which actually I didn't think came up too much. Like, I swear we've heard about more tire degradation in other races, but I had an eye on it because they said that at the beginning, pretty much.
Yeah, I think that the teams did a good job, which we'll talk about, just managing, like doing the right things, like going in for pit stops and stuff like that, enough that, yes, there was some degradation, but it wasn't as prominent as we were expecting for sure.
Yeah. But that's your track facts for Baku. Quick ad break, then we'll get into quali and the race day. So this episode of Get Checkered is brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross. Even if you're a busy business owner with more meetings and hours in a day, you are calm and collected when your group benefit plan is taken care of by Alberta Blue Cross. Your employees can manage their own health, dental, life, and disability coverage online at any time on any device. So it makes it easier for them and for you. To learn more and explore your options, head to ab.bluecross.ca.
Amazing. So qualifying, I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch it. I know, Caitlin, you probably didn't watch it either. But some of the big takeaways was just how speedy the AlphaTauris were. And we'll talk about that, just where they ranked in qualifying afterwards. But Stroll had quite a few accidents. He caused a red flag actually during qualifying. He had a little bump at turn two and turn seven. And then of course, with the red flag, we've seen this happen time and time again. It just screws up everybody during qualifying. So if you're out, you, may get complete, like not be able to finish a lap. So if you're not out yet, you won't be allowed out, like all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of a mess. The Haas drivers, both of them, really struggled, and this is K-Mag and Mick Schumacher. So that wasn't good to see, but people prospered. And the Ferrari of Charles Leclerc, put in several flying laps, and same with Sergio Perez, kicked ass. Like, he did so, so, so well. And the final top 10 heading into race day was Leclerc on pole, followed by Sergio Perez in P2, Carlos Sainz in P3, Max Verstappen in P4, Georgie in P5, where he seems to just always live. Pierre Gasly in P6, again, proving the speed of the AlphaTauri. I don't know if it was just because they were at Baku or the temperature, have no idea. Hamilton in P7, Yuki in P8, and Sebastian Vettel in P9, and Alonso in P10. Something I did want to mention is Alonso all weekend was showing incredible pace. A lot of what I like to call, like, I don't care if I die pace. So even during qualifying, the guy was going fast, really freaking fast. And we'll talk about some of the speed times, but through the race, he also continued going really, really fast. So it's just exciting. I think this is probably the best showing from AlphaTauri we've had all season. So really good for Pierre to be back in a good position. I think that we talked about it last week, but he did so well at Monaco. So to go from that to now finally qualifying in the right spot and in solid points position, I think this is like hopefully the turning point for the AlphaTauri team.
Hopefully.
We'll see. So how do you want to approach this like race day situation? Do we just, we just should just talk about the teams, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who do we want to talk about first? That way. Yeah. Who do we want to talk about first?
The Ferrari, because
I don't even want to talk about it.
He's on pole and he does not get the best start. And so Sergio passes him. And Max had a really good start. He was almost in the back of Leclerc at the start. I'm like, uh-oh. And Leclerc had like a lockup into turn one.
It was just, yeah, I think like I'm going to title this episode like what the Ferrari is happening, because nice. It just is, you know, at the start, anything can happen. And Baku's not one of those races where if you start on pole, you'll finish in first. So we know it's going to be tough, but it's just that by lap 9, people, you see Carlos Sainz, who, you know, wasn't as speedy as the top three at this point, which is Charles and Sergio and Max. But consistent, you know, he's consistent. His car just dies. He like goes into a corner, and Caitlin, I don't know if you knew right away what had happened. For me, I was just like, oh my gosh, did he get into an accident? But the car looked fine. And then you watch the replay and it sounds like his power unit just cut off, like just completely died. I'm like, why? This guy cannot catch a freaking break.
Nope.
I just don't understand.
But like, honestly, what was going on in my head, I'm like, he is so unlucky, but thank God he has his contract in place with Ferrari for a while.
Yeah. At least, what is it? 2 more years or 1 more year? Something. So he can at least figure it out. But it's also like, this is not his problem. And the pain did not stop for Ferrari, because roll around lap 20, they double DNF. You see Charles just with this cloud of smoke coming out of his engine or like the back of his car. And you're like, oh my God, are you serious right now? Because at this point of the race, there was a virtual safety car because of Carlos Sainz. So folks had pitted and all that stuff was going on, and rightfully so. Like, I think the right call, Ferrari did pit Charles, which was good because Red Bull didn't. And I was like, oh, this is a great opportunity for Ferrari to get back in the lead. No. Because yeah, like I said, lap 20, it was over. And I could not believe it, because we mentioned, but my grid rival team was demolished at that point.
I mean, okay, so mine wasn't as demolished as you for Ferrari. We'll get to the Haas stuff later. But yeah, anyone who had Ferrari is like the constructor. If you had Carlos and Charles, like Shanika, you were a little bit
out of the top 10 in our league right now, which
I dropped below you though, Shanika. Did you see that?
I did. I was like, okay, well, I'm not in the top 10, but at least Caitlin will be in the top 10. No, she's not in the top 10.
I started P2 how many races ago, and now I'm P15.
It's not good.
No, we don't know how to grid rival well, apparently.
No. And what I thought was interesting though, I don't know, Caitlin, if they showed this on your F1 TV stream, but so Charles is out lap 20, and then somehow they like interview him halfway through the race. So you are watching the other car's race and he comes on And they're like asking him about how he feels and stuff. And the guy's like totally speechless. Like, he's like, I'm upset, but I'm also like, why are you asking him like right now? Like, he DNF'd like maybe two laps. Like, it wasn't that much time before he was on the, I don't know. I thought it was so weird.
No, I did not know that.
It was so weird. It was, yeah. I don't know if you caught any of the post-race stuff, but like Carlos just flat out was like, the season is not going my way. And then Charles again was just like, I am just got nothing. Like, he's like, this really hurts. And he hadn't talked to the team yet, so he just wasn't even sure what happened. Obviously, we found out later it was just like we said, that power unit engine out. I think with Carlos it was something that starts with the T. I remember something with transmission, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, so it just was not a good day. And Mattea in the post-race stuff, he was like, yeah, obviously I'm freaking concerned about what's happening right now. And it's not great, because folks, right now Red Bull is running away with the constructors.
Yeah, and Max and Sergio are 1 and 2 in the drivers.
Yeah, and it's not good. I have no idea what is going to happen, but I want them to do well.
I know, me too. I'm like, you didn't have this reliability issue at the start. Why is it coming in now?
I know. That's like the, maybe now we can switch gears to Red Bull, but that's what's so interesting, because Red Bull obviously had a double DNF early on in the season, and both teams had issues with reliability, but Red Bull fixed it, it looks like, fairly quickly, and they've been fine. Mm-hmm. Where Ferrari just seems to be like going downhill a little bit. And today was like the perfect showing for Red Bull, honestly.
Yeah, it was flawless.
Flawless.
Except, I want to say, so Sergio had a slowish pit stop right at the beginning.
Yeah,
still don't know exactly why it happened the way it did, but it was mm-hmm. slow. And then eventually Sergio gets passed by Max. Like, it didn't sound like it was team orders, or we didn't hear it on the radio, but Max passes him. And I'm like, is this like something to do with Joss Verstappen's comments about how the team didn't help Max enough in Monaco? Like, I don't know. It was just like,
feels weird. Yeah, I totally hear you there. It's not great, but I will say in the post-race stuff, because I was curious to hear from Sergio, right? Obviously, he finished P2, and at the beginning, he showed that he had a lot of pace, and then I don't know what happened. He actually said that, like, it was the right call, because Max was definitely faster, and it's just something in that first stint when he beat Charles, took a lot out of his tires, and then after that was just kind of like not in the same space or something. He's like, there's a lot to learn and stuff, blah, blah, blah. They always say that there's a lot to learn from the car, but he said it was the right call. Like, he didn't seem upset about it. So I think more than anything, he's just like, he's still P2. He's so close to mm-hmm. Max and the drivers. Like,
I saw one of the reports that came out this week was like, Horner said I've lost Shanika, you guys. I can't talk to myself. I hope we get Shanika back on soon. I have no idea what happened.
My Wi-Fi just died. Okay. Oh, well, I'm glad that it kept recording. Jesus fucking Christ, I would have died. Okay, where were we at? You were talking about Christian Horner.
yeah, we were. Christian Horner. One of the things I read this week was that he said Sergio's definitely like in the hunt for the title this season, which we know he wants, and I'm glad Christian's not taking a Joss Verstappen stance at this point. There's still time to figure out who needs to be running for first.
Yeah, and in the post-race interview, both drivers were happy, so it's like nothing there. And Christian also was like, good showing for a team, can't really complain. So it was good for them. But I got really weird vibes from McLaren this race.
Okay. So I thought we were going to talk about AlphaTauri, but we'll get there. Let's talk about McLaren, because the duo, it was a weird feeling. Like, the whole race. Because it was like Daniel started out behind Lando, and he was actually on the radio. We heard so much McLaren radio.
So much, yeah.
And like, we heard everything that was going on, so hence why we can talk about this. But yeah, Daniel's like, oh, I have the pace. He needs to go fast. No, what did he say? yeah, he's like, I have more pace. I should be able to pass Lando pretty much. And eventually we get further on in the race. I can't remember how it happened. Maybe pitting, maybe Danny passed him. Regardless, Danny's in front, and now Lando is behind him, and he's on the radio with his engineer. He's like, Daniel needs to go faster. I don't want to be stuck behind him. And Ethan, like, I don't know about you on your TV, but mine were, my commentators brought up, like, the egos between Daniel and Lando. And they're like, yeah, they both have egos to feed. Because again, Lando goes on the radio. He's like, I stayed behind of Daniel because of strategy, but these final laps, like, are all about position and points, and I want to pass him. And it was just like, so I wrote, quote unquote, it just does not sound like teammates.
No. And I think at the very end there, like, it felt like Lando was trying to see if he could pass him, even though he was given the order to stand down. Yeah,
he did. He tried to move, and then he pulled back for whatever reason. Maybe because he knew better in his head, or he actually couldn't.
Yeah, like, he didn't do it, you know, which is good. But I agree. Like, I just thought it was so weird. And I thought, like, I don't know. I just thought the vibes were very off. And yes, yeah, both of them have a bit of an ego. Both of them think they're fast. Like I said, Alonso was the speediest one today. But it was just, it seems like there might be some morale, like the team maybe not be fully in sync. I don't know.
Well, okay. Let's talk about the fact we talked about a few episodes ago, Zach Brown going up and it getting out to the press, how he's saying, like, there's mechanisms where we can cancel Daniel's contract. But of course, Daniel's going to feel trash after that. And I think that has probably exuberated a lot of the feelings within the team, between the drivers.
And, like, their sides of the garages. It's not good.
And it starts with leadership, honestly.
It does. It really, really does. And I think we can actually, like, counter that to some of the stuff we've seen in Mercedes. But when the race ended, like, okay, Lando also, I don't know if you watched the same interview, but he kind of was, like, a little, I don't think it was, like, okay, I'm going to frame it for you. A reporter's like, you know, what happened with that pit stop? Because he went in for a pit stop, and they put out Danny to just go along, kind of thing. When he came out of the pit stop, he was like P16 or something. So he ended up far back in traffic. So that's what she meant, was just like, what happened there? Like, was it a bad strategy call or what happened? And he was like, well, that's what happens when there's a pit stop. And I was like, you're coming off like such a douchebag right now.
You don't need, like, to talk to someone who comes up with the question for you. Don't need to respond like that.
Yeah. And I did not like that response. I was like, and then he was like, well, you know, whatever. But I was just like, no, I think it's a legitimate question, because you ended up so far back and then having to work your way up through other people pitting or whatever that looks like. But it was just weird. I just did not like that comment.
Was it a female reporter?
It was a female reporter too. And I was like, I don't like that. Interesting. I don't like that. Obviously good for Danny. He's in some points again, which he desperately needs right now, I think, even from a morale perspective. But I don't know. There's some synergies that just need to happen there that haven't happened. And to counter that, we have, like, the Mercedes team. Obviously, Georgie, P3 on the fucking podium. Had kind of a lonely race. Like, he just positioned himself so well. Hey, like,
just the most consistent driver.
Yeah. In the shittiest car. He's literally driving a tractor, and he capitalizes on everyone else's mistakes. So obviously with the two Ferrari DNFs, he moved up to P3 and just, like, kind of hung out there. And Lewis, on the other hand, had to, like, really work his way up through, I would say, like, the midfield and finish in P4, which is great. But they got to figure out this porpoising issue. Like, it was actually painful to watch them today.
Yeah. And, like, Lewis was commenting his back was really sore, and probably attributed to that.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is not good. He has definite spine pain, apparently, because
he's
of it.
Not young. Like, no. We know about, like, body pains because we get older, but he's older than us. So,
and the thing is, Daniel Ricciardo, he said, this is the first time I felt it in that way. And, like, I know George and Lewis have been saying it, but they're right. Like it really does hurt that bad. So Toto, I think, does a good job of just taking all of the blame for the car, which I'm like, yeah, you need to, like something needs to be fixed here. George, of course, was asked again about Lewis and Lewis's performance. And I love this for George. And I think this is what Lando and Danny need, where he was like, look, Lewis is one of the best, if not the best. I'm paraphrasing, but like once he figures out this car, he's going to be like a total beast in this car. Like it's not, and I think that's important to have your teammate be like, I'm tired basically of answering this question of like, is he great? He is great. The car is the problem. And if you don't have trust in the vehicle, how the hell are you supposed to go, you know, 340 kilometers an hour?
Truly. And it's nice to have, like, if you are a team. At the end of the day, you are a team.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So, and today, team showing for Mercedes, painful, but really good. P3, P4, exactly where they want to be in the standings right now. They're third, which is what they said. We have the third fastest car. So it was good for them. And then do you want to talk about the blunders? It's the Guan Yu Zhou, man. I have no idea what's going on with that.
He was having a great race too. So Shanka, Guan Yu was on my grid rival team too.
Yeah.
I got rickshawed this race, but yeah, Guan Yu was having a great race. He actually out-qualified Valtteri.
Right? Yeah.
And just out of seemingly nowhere, it's another reliability issue. Yeah. The Alfa Romeo powered by a Ferrari powertrain.
And he's out of the race. And this he's been out of so many races this season.
He's DNF'd quite a few
races. Times. Yeah. Because of reliability issues. Like, oh, there's a technical issue.
Did you hear what he said on the radio? I didn't catch it, but it was something along like, oh, guys, we can't do this again.
Yeah, something like that. I know he said something again, and I was like, yeah, like this can't be happening again to this guy who's driving really well and being very competitive, but the car is failing him. So that was shit. And then another Ferrari powered car, which was also on Caitlin's team.
Yeah. Kevin Magnussen was doing great as well. Honestly, it should have been a fantastic race for Grid Rival for me, but no, it was the worst. Yeah, Kevin Magnussen, another Ferrari engine, and he's out with reliability issues. It powered off very similar to Charles. It wasn't as quite puffy, but it was a puff.
Yeah. So he was out to really bad day for Haas. I don't even know. I think Ferrari's just got to figure out what the hell's going on and fix it quickly and take the data from their team, but also the other teams to be like, what is actually going on? I guess the people we didn't talk about, AlphaTauri.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can tackle this one. This was fun. You had some good notes.
I just was impressed with our boys. Okay. They did really, really well. Gasly like kind of put his elbows out and to protect his spot as much as possible. Yuki though got completely screwed. What can we talk about? What the hell happened with his rear wing? I don't understand what happened.
Had to do some research on the side because
a black and orange flag, which we've never seen.
Yeah. So, and I noted this. I'm like, I don't think we've seen it since we've started watching races. And the commentators are actually like, this is a very uncommon flag to see at all. So first time seeing it, it's the black flag with the orange circle in the middle, and it's tagged with a specific number. So like the driver of, like it's assigned to a driver pretty much.
Yeah.
So this one was assigned to Yuki. And what this flag means is that it's the driver has mechanical issues and must return to the pits. So it's a call from race control to the driver. And what's really shitty is the fact that it was like Yuki's rear wing, you could see only half, like one side of it opened when he tried the DRS. And so like obviously the other half was not responding yet. Mechanical connection was not working there. But the fact that this flag comes out and he has to go in and get it fixed, like he had a long pit to get that fixed. It pretty much like absolutely took him out of any point contention. And it's like, why would you need to call in a driver? Like for what level of safety concern was that? Seriously, if you think about it.
Okay, so that's interesting that you say that. What I was trying to figure out was, okay, it's broken, but how broken is it? And will it fly off? Because it could fly off and hit someone if it's that broken. What I thought was funny is that they just like came out with the duct tape and were like, we're going to be fine. Yuki, no DRS. And I was like, I don't know if that's the right call. Cause like, yes, he finished the race and maybe getting laps underneath him is like the most important thing. I don't know, but he also fell out of a points position, like a complete points position, mm-hmm. and had no possibility of making that up because he couldn't.
And I think like, I questioned the safety aspect of it mostly because of what happened with Max. Yeah. Literally the race before. Was it the race before? Two races before? His DRS wing didn't open.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, was he called in with a orange flag? No. He was told don't use DRS and he didn't. And that's the same thing that happened with Yuki. And I'm like, it's like, I don't know. And even so, the commentators on my side were saying, like, I don't know if that was a warranted flag or not. And I was like,
interesting. On my side, they were saying, oh my gosh, they need to like say that the race is over because that could fly off and then hurt someone. Like, I've never seen it broken in half like that.
Interesting.
And then they were like, oh, they're duct taping it. Like, I don't know if that's the right call. And I was like, what's happening? I don't know. We'll never know. But we ended the race with just like, I would say like a bit of a predictable podium. Would you say, Caitlin? It was Max. I guess like Sebastian Vettel also did really well, folks.
Yeah.
He made like one tiny mistake, but I do think he could.
Okay. But he came back after that. I was so impressed.
Fun. I was like,
because that's where Lewis went straight, I think, last year.
And he, yeah,
it looks similar. And Seb doesn't quite make the turn either. He locks up and he goes straight. And he completely donuts the car in the right direction and he gets right back on track right away. And I was like, whoa, Seb.
It was impressive. Yeah. It was really impressive. I did want to say Fernando Alonso was going at points of this race at 340 something kilometers an hour. He did not give a shit about anything. Like I said, the Alpine, who would have thought? The race ended with Max in first, so getting that win that he should have gotten last year.
Yeah,
but then that's an entire issue. Sergio Perez in P2, George the last slot on the podium, like we said, Lewis in P4, Pierre in P5. Obviously I'm very happy about that, and Sebastian Vettel in P6, Fernando Alonso in P7, Danny Ric in P8, Lando Norris in P9, Esteban Ocon P10, Valtteri in P11, Alex Albon P12, Yuki Tsunoda P13, Mick Schumacher P14, and then rounding out the bottom here, we have Nicholas Latifi in P15 and Lance Stroll in P16. We had a total of 4 DNFs, all of them powered by Ferrari. So here's to hoping something happens there. I'm not sure what. And now we head off to Canada, which is a similar street style race, similar speeds. So very concerned about Mercedes and the porpoising issue.
Hopefully they do something in this week, but we'll see. Like, that's a big distance to travel for a week. Like, imagining the fact that what's the time difference? Like, if the race started 4 a.m. for me today, and the race probably gonna start around noon for me next week, that's 8-hour difference.
Yeah. Do these people sleep? No. And so many people. We know so many people going. Hey, Caitlin.
I know. Very jealous. Very jealous.
Really, everyone's going.
Get both Shanika and I out of the rain in Western Canada. It'd be appreciated.
So do you have any predictions for next week? I mean, not next week. Sorry. The Canadian Grand Prix, which is in 2 weeks. Next week.
I don't know.
What would you like?
What do I want to see? I want to see Ferrari come back. I want to see...
I agree.
Charles and Carlos just absolutely bring it to Red Bull. I want to see Magnussen get a good result in. I'm holding on to him on my team because I'm like, he's such good value for your money when he does good.
I hope that Mercedes just because we know that I think Lewis's first one was actually at the Montreal Grand Prix. Yeah. So there's a lot of positive memories there. I just hope that he can get on a podium. That's it. Like, I actually hope he outqualifies. He hasn't had one yet. I hope he outqualifies George. I hope he gets on a podium. And this can be like the turn then, you know, the thing that changes maybe momentum a little bit. Not that George doesn't deserve it. George is doing great. But I love to see that. And I'm with you. I want Ferrari to just not have these issues because it's hurting not just the Ferrari team, but all these other teams as well who are on our good rival fantasy league situation. So it's not great. yeah, that's all I have.
And for everyone listening, Shanika and I, if we do find bars to watch this, we'll post it on our social media. So just keep looking for that. Mm-hmm. But it'll be so nice to see everyone and watch a race together, so
in person it would
we'll
be
see
so
what
nice.
We can do
just stay tuned to our socials for that. And actually, this is like a perfect way to wrap the episode so that you can go off and play soccer, is that you should follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Get Checkered. You can email us at getcheckered@gmail.com or just like slide into our DMs. That happens all the time. And or head to our website, which is getchecker.com. But those are the places to find us outside of this podcast. And yeah, folks, until next time.
Until next week. Remember, stay checkered. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.